Listen, I want you to get your Bibles. We're going to go to Matthew, the 16th chapter, and we're going to begin reading at verse 13 to start off with tonight. We started a series that we're going to do the next several Sundays, and the title of the series, just something that the Spirit of the Lord has just been putting in my heart, that the gates of hell shall not prevail. Amen. How many know God's given you and I power? Amen. And so we're going to talk about that power a little bit tonight and in the next several weeks. And so I don't know. I just feel that, man, we're on the threshold of God doing something just supernatural in our midst, in our city, in our nation. Amen. How many believe God's going to be glorified in these last days that we're living in? Amen. Listen, the church isn't going out with a whimper. Come on. The church isn't going out limping. The church is going to go forth in power in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, how many know that you and I, we are the church, all of us in this room. Amen. And so God wants to fill you with his Spirit and fill you with his power. Amen. Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 13 is where we're going to start off with tonight. It says, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said, this is the question, though, that I asked you. He said, who do you say that I am? Amen. And then Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen, church, if there's ever a time that the church needs a revelation of Jesus, it's right now. Amen. We need a revelation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. That God is able to do exceedingly abundantly all we ask and all that we think about according to his power, the scriptures, according to the mighty power that is at work within us. Amen. And so we got to become acquainted with that power that God's given to us, the Spirit of God that is within us. Amen. And then it says, and Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now the word church, there's the Greek word ecclesia. And what it means those that have been called out. It's talking about those that have been called out and have been gathered together as a company of believers. And listen, that's you. That's me. I know we're the ecclesia of God. We're the called out ones. Amen. It says, and I will build my church, my called out ones. He's not talking about brick and mortar. Okay. He's talking about he's going to build his church. Amen. Where he's going to construct. He's going to confirm. Where he's going to establish. He's going to raise up who? The called out ones. That's you and I. That's a good place for an amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. And it says in the gates of hell, the word hell there, it's the Greek word Hades. And what it means is that which is unseen. How many know we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and wickedness in high places. In other words, there's a battle that we are engaged in every day. Amen. And the Bible says that God's church, the called out ones, he's going to build them up. He's going to establish them. He's going to confirm them. In other words, and the gates of the unseen are not going to prevail against them. They're not going to overpower you. Come on, they're not going to overpower you in Jesus' name. Now understand, Jesus' ministry, it flowed with the healing of the sick. Jesus' ministry, it flowed with miraculous miracles. In other words, there was the casting out of devils. There was a message that Jesus proclaimed and declared. And that message was the kingdom of God. Amen. That the kingdom of God was at hand. I mean, that's what he preached. Amen. He preached it in every city, every place he went. He went and he preached the kingdom of God. Amen. Matthew 4, verse 23 says this. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. It says his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all that were sick, that were taken with different types of diseases, and those that were tormented, and those that were possessed by devils, and those which were lunatics. and those that had palsy. And the Bible says he healed them all. Come on, he healed them all. In other words, every type of person with every type of problem that there was on the earth, in other words, they brought them to Jesus, and Jesus healed them all. And understand, God has provided for you and I as the called out ones. He's provided for you and I as believers the opportunity to be able to move in the miraculous. And so understand, God's desire, listen to me, Jerry, God's desire for each and every one of us is that we be a channel in which heaven can come to the earth. God wants heaven on earth, amen? He wants every man, every woman, and every child to experience his power, to experience his glory, to experience his goodness here in the earth. How many know someone that needs a touch from God? I believe all of us know somebody who needs a touch from God. We may need a touch from God tonight in this place, amen? And so God has created you, and he's created you uniquely so that you can function. Listen to this. It's important that we get this in our spirit, that we can function not only in the natural realm. When God created us, he created us uniquely. Not only that we can function in this natural realm, but you and I have the capacity to be able to function in the spiritual realm. And listen, this is where God's bringing his church right now. He's bringing his church to a new place. Amen. In other words, he's trying to move us into a new level. Because he's wanting signs and wonders. He's wanting miracles. He's wanting the supernatural. He's wanting heaven to invade earth. Come on. Guys, you've been born for such a time as that. This is not the time for you and I to hide in our houses. The Bible said the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Amen. They're not going to subdue you. They're not going to overpower. They're not going to overtake you. God's going to raise up his church. So God desires for his presence, for his healing, for his deliverance, for his love to be expressed to mankind. Come on, every day that we walk this earth, there's people that need his touch. There's somebody who needs to have an experience with God. There's someone who needs an expression of his love, an expression of his power released to them. Why? So it could change their lives. And so, well, God, why don't you send Pastor Chuck? And I'm praying, God, why don't you send them? Hallelujah. Listen, all of us are the called out ones. God's designed every one of us to be able to not only function in this natural realm, but to function in a spiritual realm. He refers to you and I as sons of God. As many as believe upon him, to them gave he power to be sons of God. Amen? So God desires for his presence, for his healing power, his deliverance to be expressed to this world that you and I are a part of. Listen, there's a foundation that we need to understand and we need to make sure is it established in our life. In other words, a key to the spiritual realm. And there needs to be intimacy with God. Come on, we got to become intimate with him. We can't just be go to church Sunday type of intimacy. Listen, how many of you were married and the only time you saw your wife or your husband was one day a week? How many know that's not going to really fly? You're not going to have a whole lot of intimacy. You're not going to grow in your relationship. You're not going to experience, you know, what you really need to experience as a husband and wife from one. In fact, it probably wouldn't be too long that you will actually probably begin to separate from one another. And that's what happens with believers. We've not developed and realized that we need intimacy with God. So a foundational key to the spiritual realm is intimacy with God. And then number two, it's being able to hear God's voice. To hear God's voice. See, God wants you to regularly and confidently operate in the power of the Spirit. God wants far more to take place in your life and to move through your life than you might realize. In other words, he was wanting you and I to move in the supernatural. I don't know if you realize this, but every one of us in this room tonight, you're designed to be a spiritual being. Sometimes we don't think about that, but you're designed to be a spiritual being. And you're a spiritual being actually living in a natural body. How many know one day these bodies are going to perish? They're going to be dissolved. But how many know you're going to live forever? Why? Because there's more to you than just what you see here in these natural bodies. And so we need to understand that you've been designed to be a spiritual being. But yet a lot of times as believers, we focus solely on our natural body to try to comfort it, to try to care for it, to clothe it and to feed it and to try to nourish it and give it all the things that it craves for. How many know our natural flesh craves for a lot of things? And usually we're pretty good at catering to our flesh. My youngest grandson, Jude, he had a beef with me. He said, "Papa," he said, "I don't want to come here and there's no cookies." And I said, "What do you mean, Jude?" He said, "Somebody's eating all my cookies. And I know it's not Donna and it's Papa." And he had a big, why? Because I was catering to my flesh. And so I got called out. So I have to make sure that I have a supply of cookies. And I got to have the right cookies. Can't just have any cookie. You got to have the right cookie. But a lot of times we just cater to our natural bodies instead of catering to our spirits. Come on, God's trying to get his church to move to a new level. He's trying to get you to move to a new level. Amen? And so understand, with our bodies, we can communicate with this natural world that surrounds us. Amen? With our spirit, we're able to communicate with the realms of God. Amen? And see, God's wanting us to be able to communicate with him. He's wanting us to hear his voice. He's wanting us to have intimacy with him. Amen? And listen, listen to this. You don't have to become a spiritual person. I'm going to say that again. You don't have to become a spiritual person. You are already a spiritual person. You know that? You already are. So it's not something you got to try to figure out how to become. You already are a spiritual person, okay? And so what we have to do, we have to understand, Lord, help me to be able to just function in that area in my life. Amen. And so there's a spiritual dimension to you that you already have. Okay. And so just as your body has senses, your spirit has senses. And so we're to develop those things. Amen. Now let me say this, because, you know, sometimes we can get caught up in how many of we can make things complicated? Are you a person that makes things complicated? Does anybody make things complicated? You know, a lot of times we can make things more complicated than what they are. And we need to understand that everything that God is wanting to do in you and me, it's really pretty simple, okay? And so sometimes we just kind of can complicate things. I want to read this in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren," he says, "I don't want you to be ignorant." Now the word ignorant, it means to have no practical experience or no understanding of, okay? So here Paul speaking to the Corinthians says, guys, listen, I don't want you not to have practical experience in regards to spiritual things. He was saying, listen, you, every one of you can have practical experience with spiritual things. And not only that, but you can have an understanding of it. Amen. And the reason sometimes things can seemingly be hard to us regarding the things of God is because we just don't know how. And so in the next couple of weeks, we're going to learn how to walk in the Spirit, how to hear the voice of God. We're gonna learn how to be spiritual in the sense of not allowing the gates of hell to overcome us. Why? Because Jesus said that they would not prevail against us. And we're going to understand how to walk in our authority as a believer. Amen. Because guys, he's given to you and I authority. Amen. And so God wants you to be empowered. He wants you to be equipped, okay, to be able to affect the world that you're a part of. Amen. I want to go to this scripture in Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 15. Is everybody okay tonight? Okay. Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 15. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they take up a serpent, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And so then the Lord, as he's finished speaking these things to them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God. And they went forth. Now understand that this is not just the 12 disciples, okay? Because at this time when Jesus was speaking, there was more than 12 that was there. There was probably over 500 that was listening to this message that Jesus was talking about. He says, I want you to go forth and preach everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Okay? And so we need to understand that the plan of God for you and I is that we walk in the supernatural. That miracles, signs, wonders follow us. Amen? That devils are afraid of us, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Amen? In Jesus' name. Come on. God's trying to take his church to a new level. Amen? So that we can be an expression of who he is in this earth. Amen? He's wanting to change this world. He's wanting to change your neighbors. He's wanting to change the people you come in contact with in the grocery. And all we need to do is make sure that we are intimate with God, so that there's a relationship that we are having with him and that we learn to hear his voice, his impressions, his leadings in our life, so that when he impresses us and he leads us and he directs us, we're quick to obey what he says to do. And as we do it, what's going to happen? There's going to be signs and wonders that are going to follow as we move out in obedience to what God commands us to do. Amen? How many believe God's wanting to change our world right now? How many know our world needs changing? How many know our world needs some help? And it's not the government that's going to help them, okay? It's not another program. It's not another thing added to the laws. It's going to be the power of God's Spirit upon men and women like you and I who pick up the mantle and say, God, here I am, use me. And we begin to fellowship with the Lord in a deeper and a more intimate way. We allow God to begin to train us and teach us to where we learn to hear his voice. And when we hear his voice, we do what he says do. No matter if it seems awkward or it seems weird or it seems difficult, we do what he says do, and we see the supernatural take place. Why? Because God wants to touch this generation. He wants to change this generation. Amen? Acts 1:8 says that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So understand, the world isn't supposed to come to the church. Wait a minute. I'm going to say that. The world isn't supposed to come to the church. Come on, I'm going to say that again. The world is not supposed to come to the church. We're not supposed to be looking out the windows and say, man, I hope they come today. The world isn't supposed to come to the church. The church is supposed to go to the world. So, Pastor, I don't know if I can do that. You know, I don't have a lot of training. I don't have a lot of knowledge. You know what you need? All you need is God. You just need him to fill your spirit, fill your heart. Amen? And so understand, there's a lot of different ways in which the Holy Ghost wants to operate through us. And like I said, in this teaching, we're going to go through things. we'll see where we go to tonight. I have a lot of stuff for tonight, but we're not going to get to all of it. But I want to go to Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 4. And I just want you to have your hearts open. I just want you to just be receptive to what the Lord wants to do in your life tonight. Amen. Hebrews 2:4 says, it says, God also bore witness. He says, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. I'm going to say that again. Understand, this is the disciples. These are all the believers. Because the command was, okay, they were to go forth, they were to preach everywhere. And what was going to happen, that the Lord was going to work with them. And he was going to confirm the word that they preached with what? Signs following. Amen. He just was needing some people that would be obedient, that would be intimate with him, so that they could learn to hear his voice. And when God said do, they did. Amen. When God said do, they did. I remember I was with a brother one time. This was years ago. It just came in my mind. His name was Brother T. Brother Theodore Hughes. Some of you may know Brother Theodore Hughes, but his name was Brother T. And he was a dear brother. He was the evangelism director of the church that I used to go to years ago. And anyway, I ended up hooking up with Brother T. And we used to go out, you know, on the streets. He taught me how to go out on the streets and how to share Christ with people. And it was just, man, just a tremendous experience that I had with Brother T. Amen. He put me in some awkward situations sometimes, which was good because that's how I learned. That's how I grew in the Lord. Amen. But I remember one time we were off of Franklin Avenue and Tante Street. I don't know if you know where that is, Franklin Avenue and Tante Street. And anyway, we were on the street that day, and we were, you know, sharing Christ with people. And there was a guy that came up and said, hey, you know, my grandmother's not feeling well. She's been sick. She's been in bed. She's running fever. You know, can you guys come and pray? And Brother T said, sure, we'll come and pray with her. You know, and so he led us to their house, and we went into their home. And sure enough, this lady's there, elderly lady, and she's in bed, and she was really looking pretty rough. And, you know, and she was coughing, and she was, you know, just, you know, didn't seem to have a lot of strength. And so Brother T began to just share that God was a healer, that God was able to raise her up, and that God was able to bring transformation in her life. And anyway, he was sharing that with her and the couple of family members that were there. And, you know, I was there, you know, and I was like, you know, just kind of like backup, I guess you could say. You know, I was like standing there, you know, praying in the spirit, you know, and just watching. And all of a sudden, Brother T, he goes, somebody go make this woman a jelly sandwich, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And everybody looked at each other. And he says, I just heard in my spirit the Lord say, make her a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And so one of the family members goes in the kitchen, makes a peanut. Now, this sounds crazy, okay? How many of this sounds crazy, okay? You think he's going to anoint her with oil. You think that he's going to lay hands on her. You think he's going to, you know, spit fire when he's praised, you know? I mean, that's what we envision as church people, you know? He's going to spit fire as he prays, you know? And so here I am. I'm a young believer, and I'm just kind of learning things, you know, and following, you know? And so he goes, tell someone, go make her a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And so they come back, and so he's still telling her about the goodness of God and how God is the healer. And he says, in Jesus' name, you're going to eat this sandwich, and you're going to get off of this bed. He gives her the sandwich. You know, she's shaking. She starts chewing. She starts eating and chewing, and she starts eating and chewing this peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Next thing you know, she jumps out of that bed, and she was strengthened with strength in her body. She was healed. The family started rejoicing. The family started praising God. They said she hasn't been out of the bed in weeks. And here she is. She's out of the bed, and she's praising God in the middle of the bedroom. Now, I'm not saying that it was the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but I'm telling you, God used the peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I don't know what to say about that. Amen. And that woman was touched by the power. There was someplace along the line there was a point of faith where she connected her faith with the power of the kingdom and the kingdom of God. And there was transformation that took place. There was an expression of the love of God that gripped her heart. And she was healed that day. And so what I'm telling you is that we have to learn to become intimate with God. Learn to hear his voice, even if it seems like it's the strangest thing that you've ever heard. Because he's wanting to get glory. Now, we could have laid hands on him. I mean, Brother T could have said, come on, Brother Chuck, let's lay hands on this woman. And we could have anointed her with oil. We could have been praying and praying and praying and spitting and spitting fire, you know, and doing all of that stuff that you do sometimes when you pray for people, you know, quoting scripture, you know, doing all of that. But God used a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. T didn't get glory. Nobody got glory that day except God. Amen. Maybe Jeff, I don't know what kind it was. But I'm telling you is that God's trying, I say that because God's trying to move his church to a new level. I said last week, listen, if we're going to walk in the power of the Spirit, we're going to have to get rid of religious thinking. We're going to have to get rid of all the traditions that we were a part of. Because I'm telling you, the Bible talks about that God's creating new wineskins so that he can put new wine in it. Amen. In other words, God's wanting to do some things that are different. Amen. That may not be the norm. Why? Because he's wanting to be glorified. He's wanting to receive all the praise. Listen, Jesus one day, he got down on the ground and he made some mud. He spit on it. How many know that's not a... Come on. He spit in the mud and he made a little mud cake. And he put it on the blinded man's eyes. That's kind of like the peanut butter and jelly sandwich thing. He put it on the blind man's eyes, and all of a sudden, what began to happen? The blind man saw. Now, that doesn't mean, okay, let's get some mud. Let's make sure we have a bowl of mud always on the altar here at the church so that we can put mud on people all the time. It's just what God used that day. Guys, we have to understand, we have to learn to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Amen? And so understand, the Holy Spirit, he operates through different ways. Amen? And understand, one of the things that he does, he's wanting us to learn how to flow with him. Amen? He's wanting us to learn how to flow with the Spirit. Amen? And so the Holy Spirit, he flows through, number one, he flows through the word of faith. Amen? Psalms 107 verse 20 says, he sent his word and his word healed them and delivered them from destruction. Now that day, Brother T, he was sharing and sending the word to that lady. Amen. And we need to understand that the Holy Ghost, he operates through the word of faith. Amen. And so guys, you're going to have to walk in faith if we're going to walk in the supernatural. We're going to have to believe God, Brother Lowry. Amen. We're going to have to know that God is God. Amen. And understand faith comes by hearing the word of God. Romans 8, 10, 17. If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so on the basis of the word, we can preach healing and expect people to be healed. You heard me? We can preach healing. Listen, every time I pray for somebody, I'm expecting them to be healed. Why? Because the word says for them to be healed. So, Pastor, have you prayed for everybody and everybody's gotten healed? Well, I can't say that everybody got healed, but I tell you one thing. I've never prayed for somebody to stay sick. Why? Because we need to understand the Holy Ghost operates through the word of faith. And so I have to make sure, you have to make sure that we declare and speak words of faith. Amen. And understand God's given to every one of us a measure of faith that you and I can believe. And understand faith grows as we hear, as we meditate upon the word of God. And so we have to exercise, act upon what the word says. The word says lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Then we need to lay hands on the sick so that they can recover. Amen. Well, Pastor, what about that thing with the jelly sandwich? I don't know. I do know that the word of faith was being preached. And the word of faith was being declared. And the word of faith was being sent to that lady as she laid in the bed. And why the Lord told Brother T to get a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I have no idea. But it definitely was an act of obedience. You know, sometimes we miss God just simply because we're not willing to act in obedience to what he says for us to do. Because sometimes we dismiss what we hear, thinking that's too crazy. that's too goofy. You know what I'm saying? That's too strange. Look at Joshua, the children of Israel, when they came before Jericho. The Lord told Joshua, Joshua, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get the whole group, and you're going to march around Jericho 7 times. The first 6 times, you're going to march around. You're not going to say a thing. Then on the 7th time, when you march around, the priests are going to blow the trumpet, and everybody's going to give a shout, and the walls are going to come down. Now, can you imagine? Jericho was tightly shut up, a walled city. There was probably people on top of the wall, warriors, wondering what in the world is Israel going to do. And they march around the city and do nothing. And then they march around the next day and they do nothing. And then they march around the 3rd day and they do nothing. And I'm sure some of the people of Israel were going, what? Huh? Don't you think? You know, if they were like you and me, they probably, some of them were saying, I don't know if Joshua really heard from the Lord on this one. And they marched around the 4th day. They marched around the 5th day. They marched around the 6th day, and they did nothing. And then they marched around the 7th day, and they blew the trumpets as was commanded by Joshua, because this is what Joshua heard from the Lord. And the Bible says that as they began to shout, the walls began to shake. And then the whole city crumbled to the ground. And they invaded into the city, and they gathered all the spoils and defeated all the people of Jericho. Come on. God. God. So understand, he operates by a word of faith. Guys, we gotta operate by a word of faith. If God said it to us, stand on it, believe it, trust it. Why? Because there's going to be a miracle that's going to happen if you stand fast, amen? And listen, we also have to understand, we're also going to have to pray the prayer of faith. You know, in Mark 11, verse 24, it says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you believe, believe that you've received them, and you shall have them. See, prayers that get results are prayers that are filled with faith. We got to have prayers filled with faith. Amen? See, I'm talking about you and I operating at another level. How many know sometimes we can make stuff happen in our life just simply because we may know the right person? Come on. Isn't that true? We can make stuff happen in our because we may be skilled. Or we may have money in the bank. Or we may have a rich relative. You know what I'm saying? And we can kind of think of how we can make it happen without God. But guys, if we're going to move into a new level that God is trying to bring this generation of believers to where we walk in the power of the Spirit and see the miraculous take place around us, we're going to have to understand it's going to require that we have a word of faith in our mouth, because the Holy Spirit is going to operate through a word of faith, and we're going to have to make sure that we pray prayers that are filled with faith. Amen? And so understand, prayers that get result are prayers that are filled with faith. And listen, sometimes you have to understand, you're going to have to persevere in prayer. I mean, we live in a generation that, you know, you put the microwave on and you're expecting it in 30 seconds. If it takes longer than that, then something's wrong. And so sometimes you need to understand, we're going to have to persevere in prayer. Amen? In other words, sometimes prayers are not always answered immediately. Luke 18:1 says, and he spoke a parable unto this man, that men ought to always pray and not faint. Why did Jesus say that? Because he knew that there was going to be times that in order for the Holy Ghost to be able to work, that you and I, we're going to have to pray the prayer of faith, and we're going to have to understand that the prayer of faith sometime is going to require that we persevere in our prayers. In other words, if you don't get an immediate manifestation to the answer that you're looking for in your prayers, then you need to keep asking. You need to keep seeking. You need to keep knocking. And I believe sometimes our generation has lost that because we have other means that we can go to try to get our prayers answered. But I'm talking about you and I walking in the miraculous. I don't know about you, Brendan. I want to see the miraculous. I want to see God's supernatural power. Not only in my life, I want to see it in your lives. I want to see it in his church. I want to see it to where you come back and you're telling me, man, I was at Walmart, and all of a sudden, man, there was this man there, and I just heard in my spirit to go pray for this man. And I went over. I was a little nervous. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I went anyway. Why? Because I knew it was God. He was leading me. He was pushing me. He was prompting me. And I didn't know what I was going to say, but I knew that I needed to pray for them. And I prayed a prayer. I don't even know what I prayed, but I prayed a prayer. And all of a sudden, they were healed by the power of God. And I'm telling you, church, that's what God's wanting to do. Do you know most of Jesus' miracles, most of the miracles that took place, they were not in the church setting. They were not in the synagogue, even though there were miracles that took place in the synagogue when Jesus went to the synagogue. But most of the miracles that took place in Jesus' time, they were in the marketplace. They were at the supermarket. Come on. They were at Sam's. I don't know if Jesus had a Sam's back then, but it was at Sam's. That's where the miracles were taking place. It was in the parking lot where all the camels were parked. Huh? It was. Come on, that's where it was happening. That's what was going on with all the disciples, man. They were all up and everywhere preaching the gospel to who would ever hear it. And God was confirming the word with signs and wonders. Because what was happening is that they were speaking words of faith. Holy Spirit was able to operate through those words of faith. Their prayers, they were prayers that were filled with faith in a God that they knew that was more than able to do what they were asking him to do. And so we have to understand that the Holy Spirit, he operates through the prayer of faith. Amen. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door is going to be opened to you. How many have ever been to someone's house that you knew and you knew they were there? Come on, you knew they were there because their car was out there. And you went and you knocked on the door and nobody came. But you knew they were there. And so what did you do? You knocked again. Knocked it a little harder. Come on, didn't you knock a little harder? And nobody came, but you knew they were there. Then you started wondering, well, are they hot? Do they know what I'm talking? And so you kind of went around to the other side of the house. You knocked on the back door. In other words, you knock to what? To somebody came. And sometimes, church, we're going to have to persevere with the word of faith and the prayer of faith if we're going to see an expression of heaven in the earth. Come on, how many know people that need God's expression in their life? Need his healing, need deliverance, need salvation, need provision. You may even need it. But we need to understand God, who is a God of the miraculous, created you and I as spiritual beings so that we can move in that realm. So we got to get past this flesh and just see this flesh and wrestling with this flesh and understand that you and I, we've been created to move in the miraculous with God. Amen? So there's the word of faith, the prayer of faith. And then there's just the gifts of the Spirit. God's wanting his gifts to flow through you. He's wanting the word of faith, the working of miracles, the gifts of healing. He's wanting the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. He's wanting discerning of spirits. He's wanting tongues, interpretations of tongues. He's wanting the supernatural realm to flow through you and I. Amen? 1 Corinthians 12:7 says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. To profit. I'm not talking profit to where we gain money, but to profit. In other words, it becomes a benefit. Guys, we need to understand that God's wanting the Spirit to flow through you and I so that we can become a benefit to someone. So that we can be a blessing. God's blessed you and he wants to bless you. Why? So that you can be a blessing. Second Timothy 1:6 says this. It says, wherefore I put you in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. So the scripture says that you and I, we could stir up the gift of God. We could stir up God's gifts in us. We can ignite the fire of God in us. And so, church, we need to understand that God's wanting you and I to not become complacent. He's wanting us to go deeper, to dig further. In other words, to reach farther than we've ever done before in regards to the things of the Spirit. And so we need to understand the Holy Ghost, he's wanting to move through you. I want to be a vessel. Come on, I want to be a vessel that he can move through. Listen, there's been time after time in my life to where I received impressions in my heart, a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom that I felt as I passed someone. It was like I just felt in my heart that I had something that I needed to share with them. Not that it was real profound, not that it was even something that was real deep. But when I shared it, it impacted their life. Guys, God's wanting all of us in this room to impact somebody's life. He just needs some vessels that are yielded, some vessels that are willing, some vessels that are saying, Lord, I want to be obedient to what you're calling me to do. God, I want to go to a new level. Guys, we can't just be content to be where we are. We need to say, God, I want to go deeper. I want to go further. God, I want you to use me more. God, I want signs and wonders. Your word. Listen, if the word says that signs followed them, then you can stand upon that word and believe for signs to follow you. And I'm declaring over my life, God, when I get up in the morning, I say, God, wherever I go today, there's going to be signs that are going to follow me. Signs are going to follow me. Somebody's going to get touched. Not because I'm anybody special, because I'm not. I promise you, I'm not. I'm just like you. I'm working out my own salvation every day. I'm from Chalmette. I'm from Araby. It's like Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Araby? Come on. I'm nobody special. I promise you that. I went to Chalmette High School. I barely passed. Come on. I wasn't saved when I was in high school, but I barely passed. We did a lot of cheating. Come on, I'm going to be honest. We did a lot of cheating when we were in high school. We had the packet system. Anybody was raised in the packet system? That was the worst thing that they could have done. We had to go to homeroom every morning. We'd get our schedule, and then we'd go to classes. We'd go to the classes. Teachers wouldn't teach. They'd just give you your packet. And so you're supposed to work on your packet while you're in their class. So we figured, let's get our own stamps. Because you had to get a stamp when you went to a class. And when you go to homeroom at the end of the day, It was necessary that you had all your classes stamped. And so what we did, we got our own stamps. Huh? Come on. Robert knows. And we'd stamp our classes, and we go to homeroom in the morning, we go to homeroom in the evening, and we were not even on the grounds the rest of the day. I don't know where I was going with that. But hallelujah. Amen. Help me, Lord, help me. God's wanting us to go deeper. Amen. In other words, he'll use anybody. We're all spiritual beings. Like I was saying, I was just from Arby, Louisiana. So I'm nobody special. I just have a craving, Bill. I really do, guys. I have a hunger. God, I want to know you. God, I want to learn how to pray in the Spirit. You know, I was reading an article by Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, that he said there was times when he prayed in the Spirit and prayed in the Spirit and got so into praying in the Spirit that it felt like he wouldn't come back. In fact, it said that he felt like he was on a tether, that he just like was heading towards God, and if he wasn't on that tether, he would have just kept on going. I said, Lord, you know what? Man, I want that. God, I want to learn how to pray, church. And listen, pastor prays, I pray, okay? But I really want to touch heaven. I want you to touch heaven. I want you to know how to pray in a way to where signs and wonder, the prayer of faith rises up out of you. It breaks strongholds and brings deliverance, not only to you and your family, but to everyone around you. That the Spirit of God is so strong on your life that, man, it impacts everyone. In other words, heaven begins to invade the earth. Why? Because of you. So, Pastor, I don't know if that can happen. It can happen with you. When we look at the disciples, we say, man, those were the disciples. If you really studied the disciples, that was a motley group. Come on. They were. Come on. Jesus had his hands full when he picked those guys. They were wanting to rain down fire from heaven on people. Peter couldn't keep his mouth shut. I mean, they were just like us. But you know what? God's Spirit came upon them. Bible says that Peter, man, the atmosphere around them become so thick with the glory and the presence of God because of his relationship with the Lord. And remember, he was just a fisherman. He was from down the road. Come on, he was from down the road, amen? He was from Delacroix. Come on, how many know people from Delacroix? Hallelujah. Come on, pray for Delacroix. But Peter was from like Delacroix. But the presence of God was so thick on Peter that it was like the atmosphere that surrounded him. Bible says that they laid people in the street that had hopes that Peter's shadow would overpass them and they were healed. In other words, I try to fathom, Peter didn't even have to see him. He didn't even have to have an encounter with them. He didn't even have to even pray a prayer of faith over them. He just needed to walk down the street. And there was the miraculous that was taking place around him. Come on, guys, we just need to go deeper. There's levels of God that he's wanting us to experience. I said, Lord, strip off every religious thing in my life. Listen, religion can really get on you real easy. I said, Lord, strip off every religious thing. Brother T didn't have religion on him. Because when you say, come on, get a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I'm telling you, you're not religious. Okay? I said, Lord, strip every religious thing off of me, Lord, because, Lord, I want to be intimate with you, because religion will keep you from being intimate with God. Lord, I want to be able to hear your voice. Religion will stop you from hearing the voice of God. I said, Lord, I just want to know you. God, I want the atmosphere around my life to be you. Because, Lord, I want to impact people. Amen? Guys, I want you to walk through a store. This is my prayer for you. I want you to walk through a store, and the presence of God is so strong on your life. Why? Because you've been intimate with the Lord. You've been praying in the Spirit. You've been seeking his heart. You've been believing for God's miracles to follow you. You've been speaking the word of faith over your family, over your life, over our city. And that you're just walking through the store and people start getting healed. Come on. Don't dismiss that. Don't say, come on, that can't happen, Pastor. I'm telling you, that can happen. It happened. The Bible gives witness that it happened. It was happening with Peter. It was happening with the disciples. Guys, we're disciples. We're those called out ones. We are spirit beings. God sent his Spirit to us. The Holy Ghost, that same Spirit that's raised Christ from the dead. He wants us to speak the word of faith. He wants us to pray prayers of faith. And persevere when it's necessary, that we just keep knocking and keep seeking until we see a breakthrough take place. Why? Because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. And we know that the gates of hell will not prevail against us. They're not going to prevail against your family. They're not going to prevail against your neighbors. They're not going to prevail against our city and our nation. As we step into what God's calling us to do. So he gives us the Holy Ghost, and he gives us gifts. Gifts. He gives us gifts. He gives us gifts. Not just a watch for serving him for 12 years. He gives us gifts. The gifts of healing. The gift of miracles. The gift of faith. He gives us words of wisdom that this world could never give to you. He gives us words of knowledge. He enables us to be able to discern the spirits around us, whether they be of God or not. In other words, he wants to give you the upper hand. Why? Because he's already told us that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Come on, I believe that. He wants to give us the gift of tongues. To where we speak mysteries. The Bible says you end up speaking mysteries. In interpretations of them. He gives us gifts, Paul. Why? So heaven can invade earth. The kingdom that Jesus preached about. It can be seen. And people can enter into it. Come on, people enter into the kingdom when you give them a word of wisdom that comes from the Spirit of God. People enter into the kingdom of God when you pray a prayer of faith. And they see a miracle take place. They've just entered into the kingdom of God. They've experienced something from another world, from another source. Not from this world, but from the world that's a kingdom world. So there's a realm of the word of faith, there's a realm of the prayer of faith, there's a realm of gifts of the Spirit. I'm saying, Lord, I want to go into all those realms. And then there's a realm, just the sovereign realm of God, where just God just shows himself mighty. where the presence and the glory, that's what happened with Peter. The presence and the glory of God just invades the atmosphere. It just comes. Let me read the scripture and then I'm going to close. Luke 5:17. Jesus' ministry. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And it says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. See, God's wanting to take us to a place to where his just his sovereignty, his presence, his glory, it just begins to invade the atmosphere. It happened with Peter, what I was saying before. I'm going to just read it in verse 16 of chapter 5 of Acts. It says, then there came also multitudes out of every city round about Jerusalem, bringing sick people and them that were vexed with unclean spirits. And it says they healed everyone. And it says that they laid beds and couches. They laid on beds and couches that at least the shadow of Peter passing might overshadow some of them. Why? Because his glory rested on Peter. Guys, this is the hour that God wants his glory to rest upon you. And listen, it doesn't matter who you are. He's no respecter of persons. He's just looking for some people that will get intimate with him. He's just looking for some people that not only will get intimate with him, but will just love him with all their hearts. Amen? Let's just go ahead and stand tonight.